Welcome to Native America Calling from Studio 49 in Albuquerque. I'm Tara Gatewood. Subtle or showy ribbon shirts fly a flag for Native pride. They are usually made from cotton or linen with either short or long sleeves and are adorned with colorful ribbons. And often they look like tassels. Like many Native fashion trends, ribbon shirts owe their origins and inspirations to a number of sources. Today we'll talk with ribbon shirt makers about their craft. We go live right after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Wisconsin Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women Task Force has started its work. The group held its first meeting in December. It was formed in the summer of 2020 after legislation to create the task force failed. Katie Thorson reports.
The Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women Task Force is made up of more than 30 people from around the state. They include the state attorney general, lieutenant governor, lawmakers, abuse victim advocates, law enforcement officers, and community leaders, an overwhelming majority of which are Native American women. Many have been impacted on a personal level.
And I'm here for all of my relatives, but specifically for my grandmother, my mother, my sisters, my nieces, all who are survivors.
My cousin is Ray Elaine Turtelot, and she went missing and was murdered in October of 1986.
One of my classmates that I went to mission school with here in Odena, she went to go visit a relative in Stevens Point for the summer, and she was babysitting there, and she was abducted there, and she was murdered.
The goal of the task force is not only bringing awareness to this issue, but to find solutions to prevent the violence. Kristen Welch is the lead organizer.
The problem of MMAW, as many of you had said in your introductions, is really complex. It's layered. It's a huge problem. But a strategic way we can begin to create solutions is really exploring relationships between the systems and examining the issues within key components of MMAW.
Subcommittees were created to focus on different issues. Those subcommittees will report to the task force on their findings throughout the year. I'm Katie Thorson.
The artwork of a Tlingit artist from Juneau, Alaska, is featured on a new postage stamp set for distribution this year. Henry Leisha spoke with the artist about the design and the story that inspired it.
Rico Chlanant Worrell is the founder of Trickster Company, a design shop based in Juneau that incorporates traditional Northwest Coast art into everything from t-shirts and stickers to skateboard decks and basketballs. He says that an art director for the U.S. Postal Service called him up one day.
He had apparently discovered some of Trickster Company's artwork at the National Museum of American Indians gift shop in D.C., and that's sort of where our discussion began about making this design happen.
Worrell decided to go with a scene from the traditional story of Raven setting free the sun, moon, and stars for his design. And he says he kept a national audience in mind.
You know, there's so many depictions of Raven in the Box of Daylight story. It almost felt a little bit like silly to do it again, but I felt like it was an important kind of design or a kind of story that gives a gateway for people to learn about Tlingit culture.
His design depicts Raven escaping through the chimney as he is transforming back into human form. It's an exciting and chaotic scene. There are stars stuck in his feathers and the sun is in his mouth. Worrell says he believes that the decision to include his artwork on a stamp is part of a wider movement for better representation of Native stories.
I think the USPS is sort of in line with everyone else trying to figure out how to enable Indigenous people to tell their own stories. And so it's just an honor to be able to be a part of that and to represent.
According to Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, the Postal Service had planned to unveil the stamp at Celebration 2020, but the event was canceled because of the pandemic. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Mm-hmm. National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by the Center for Indigenous Cancer Research at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center, dedicated to cancer research, medicine, and cancer care for Indigenous population. A no-charge online risk assessment tool is available at roswellpark.org/assessme. If you're a Native American expanding or starting a business, the Indian Loan Guarantee and Insurance Program supports your lender so your lender can make the business loan you need. Info by emailing dci@bia.gov. The Office of Indian Energy and Economic Development supports this program.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. We're talking about ribbon shirts today. They are often cotton or linen shirts adorned with satin ribbons. Often, they're colorful and can be fancy or as subtle as you want them to be. As with many Native fashion trends, the ribbon shirt has evolved over time, and many trace it to being a product of trading with settlers. You often will see men wearing ribbon shirts in the powwow arena, but you'll also see them in other places, like rodeos and even at political rallies. Women also wear ribbon shirts along with ribbon jackets and, of course, skirts. Our guests today make ribbon shirts for fun, and some do it for profit. And they'll share with you some of the origin of the ribbon shirt, how it was taught to them. We'll also learn how COVID-19 is helping them catch up back on back orders that they've been working to fulfill. And today we're going to start off in Rapid City, South Dakota. We have Darla Takes the Knife. She is a Lakota and Dakota fashion designer, and she is enrolled in the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe. Our pleasure to have her here. Darla, welcome.
Thank you.
And so, Darla, are you working on a shirt right now?
Oh, yes, I am.
Tell me a little bit about it and describe exactly what a ribbon shirt is.
Okay, a ribbon shirt is, it expresses our traditional values, our culture, and it came from the, from just expressing how we dress from the very beginning when the settlers came. They had to, you know, they still had powwows. They still socialized. It was not a contest then, but they still gathered and celebrated. And so as the materials came, the cotton, they started making their own ribbon shirts. And right now I'm making a shirt that is coming from last names, Lakota names. And it's Rain and Lightning, and I'm making a shirt with lightning and rain on it, along with the ribbon, and along with the Lakota Sioux art, the geometric designs. And the top part is dark, and the it lightens up as it goes down. So the top part looks like a thunderstorm.
Wow.
And the bottom looks like it's turning into clear skies.
Well, you know, just seeing the story that you're hearing about the story that you're telling through fabric is really exciting. And I think when we think about these different things that we wear, today we're focusing in on ribbon shirts, but there's a lot that connects when we think about what goes into our identity, and often what we put on as clothing is a part of that. And so, Darla, you are totally taking it to that arena of expressing and celebrating identity. And for you to be able to do this with fabric, how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel really good to see the end result. In fact, I kind of feel like I'm a separate person than my skills. And I look back step back and I'll take a look at what I've made, and I'm really in awe of myself.
Because sewing shirts is not always an easy thing, especially around those collars. Boy, those collars. Darla, for you, when you get sewing or you start cutting things out and you start, you know, foreseeing how all of this is going to come together, what's your favorite part?
My favorite part is the creative part, which is the hardest part. The style of the shirt varies from you know, why they are ordering it, what they're going to use it for. If they're going to use it for graduation or regalia or just to have. I feel like there's, or a presenter, someone who's speaking and standing in front of a crowd. And so I have to take all that into consideration. And then a lot of times I always communicate with them. I mean, 100%, you know, what do you have in mind? And I let them express their Lakota name, are their ancestors. And most likely they want to bring that out. And so I let them know that's what I'm here for. And I get as much information as I can with colors and with their vision. And then I meet them halfway, and then I'll come up with my knowledge. And then so everything I make is so unique.
And so you put that Darla flair in there, huh?
Yes, I do.
Very nice. And Darla, how many shirts do you think you've made over your life?
Oh, I probably made about, I guess I might have made about 30. And the reason why is because I make coats, jackets, ribbon shirt or ribbon skirts, and regalia, jingle dress, fancy shawl, grass dance. So it's not all ribbon shirt, but sure. Mm-hmm. I've made them for some very, very well known in the Native world men. And so even if I wanted to, I just don't duplicate the shirts. I mean, because it's so hard to duplicate for somebody else. I put all the effort into the one shirt, and I see them wearing them at powwows or at, you know, our speaking. I've made one for our chairman in the past before. You know, it's really an honor when they ask me. I have not made a quantity and sold them. I got one order after another. I don't have time to do that because I'm always getting a request of some kind.
And so Darla has this time. I know a lot of people have taken a moment to, you know, be in their homes and, you know, some of the stuff that we used to do a year ago has kind of slowed down. Has this time changed has it changed how much you have been able to sew or even get some of those stories told through the shirts?
I thought it was going to slow down when everybody had to start quarantine in end of March. But and I was okay to take a rest, but then the mask became a demand, and I started making tribal masks. A friend asked me, my Mushke, she's from Oglala, and she wanted me to make her a Oglala flag mask. So I made her one, and then she posted it on Facebook, and then it just went, and I started getting a lot of orders. So now I'm like, okay, I need to stop making the masks. I have I have the shirts I need to complete. I have two ribbon shirts and two jingle dresses, and then the mask orders just keep coming in.
Well, and those take time, especially if you're doing the ones that have kind of the the folds in them, and, you know, a lot of details. But when we think of sewing in this way or making these shirts, there's a lot that goes into it. And you have definitely opened up that side of it, Darla, of talking about making something that's unique for a person. And often these clothing items, much like ribbon shirts, we take a lot of care of them and we pull them out for special occasions or when we're going to dance in any kind of arena, whether it be powwow or something even, you know, here in the Southwest of what we do during the year. And so maybe that's the side of a ribbon shirt that you'd like to talk a little bit about the care you have for it. Maybe every time you put it on, it reminds you of that person who made it for you. And then what is it like when you have them on and you're in public spaces, spaces that maybe are not in your own tribal community? When you have your ribbon shirt on and you're going to that big meeting, maybe you're going to testify in front of Congress, maybe you're standing at the altar, or maybe even that's your casual Friday. Tell us about it. We want to hear how you connect to the ribbon shirt. And of course, you ribbon shirt makers, we look forward to hearing from you too. If there's anything you want to share about the stories that were taught to you as to why these came into our communities. We understand that during early trade, that's where some of the origins came from. But maybe there's something else. Maybe there is also something you were taught about these shirts, or maybe even how you conduct yourself when you have them on. Darla Take the Knife has started us off today. We'll hear more of her story as well as her creative process. Organizers have gotten pretty good at virtual conferences and gatherings during the pandemic. While they are hopeful for a return to in-person meetings one day, right now, online meetings are the norm. We'll find out how people are getting the most out of virtual meetups on the next Native America Calling.
If you're hurting in your relationship and want to talk, Strongheart's Native Helpline is a confidential and anonymous domestic violence helpline for Native Americans available at 1-844-762-8483 or connect with a live advocate by using the Chat Now button at strongheartshelpline.org. Advocates offer support and referrals for resources daily, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Central Time. This program supported by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Mesleta Pueblo, and they are full of color. They're full of story. We are talking about ribbon shirts today. With us today out of Rapid City, South Dakota, is Darla Takes the Knife. She is a Lakota and Dakota fashion designer. She comes to us from the Cheyenne River Sioux Nation. Darla, thank you for being here. And you know what? We have a caller. We're going to say hi now to our caller, Patrick, who is in Rapid City, South Dakota, tuned in on KILI. Patrick, thank you for giving us a ring. You're on air.
Hello.
Hi, Patrick. Hey, do me a favor. Turn off your radio so we can hear you really well. While you do that, I'll give out the number one more time. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Join us. Ribbon Shirt Day. You've always wanted to talk about it. Today's your day. call us now. All right, Patrick, what are you thinking?
Yes, I turned on my radio and I listen to you guys all the time when you come on.
Right on.
But my name is Patrick Face. I am from the Oglalusi tribe here in South Dakota, and I have a beautiful red ribbon shirt that this one lady made me, and the buttons on it have eagle feathers on them, imprinted. And to me and my son, because me and my son were getting ready, we just came from a Sundance, and we usually go to the powwow right after Sundance, and we wear our ribbon shirts. And even to, you know, burials or you know, gatherings before this corona hit. And people, you know, they expect me and my son to, you know, show up like that, in which we do. So, yeah, it's rich in our culture, our heritage. And my brother Mike always tells us, you know, it's fine. You know, it's fine. We might be the poorest nation, but we're the richest in culture.
Mm.
And I've always seen that, and the things that we do as a family, as a Oyate, as a Teospai, do that as a family. And I wear my ribbon shirt with pride, and it speaks of who you are. You know, it delves into your history, and when you wear a ribbon shirt today, people look at you and think, well, you know, this man's got some class about him. You know, he's got to be somebody. Well, I'm not only by myself. I've got my son with me, and my son is he just turned 11, and he's a 4-year Sundancer with me.
Mm.
And that's how we carry ourselves. That's how we conduct ourselves as Lakotas. But, you know, for the thousands of people that are listening right now, you know, reach out to your little ones and bring them up this way. It's the only way to be today, no matter who you are, what color skin, bring your kids up the right way. You know, without drugs, without alcoholism. Because in the long run, it's your bloodline that's on the line. And I'm proud of who I am today. Me and my son, I am Patrick. My son's name is Phoenix. And like I said earlier, we're Lakota. And this is how we conduct ourselves. I'm proud of who we are. I'm proud of what we do. We're getting ready right now to go Hamblecha in the Peshla in the Black Hills. Right after Sundance here, and this is what we do. There's a lot of us. We have our Sundance family, which is close. You know, the dancers, we've got close to almost 200 Sundancers.
Wow, Patrick, you are definitely giving us a lot of inspiration. I thank you for your sacrifice. I thank you for dancing for all of us. And I thank you for passing that on to your next generation. And this is exactly, you know, what it means to connect everything and even down to our clothing and our pride. I hear the pride in your voice. And I just wish you a lot of strength, Patrick. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for sharing. And we look forward to just understanding more about how all of this connects. Patrick, wishing you a good day. Stay strong in your journey, too. And Darla, what a wonderful call. And anything you want to tell Patrick?
Thank you for calling. That was a very good speech. that's my thoughts exactly. When I was a child, I grew up in a powwow trail, and the men were really majestic. My whole impression of that time was the men were like peacocks, and they ran the show. And so, you know, to see them when they wear a ribbon shirt, it is. I get that really good feeling of honor. I have respect for them, And I'm really glad that they do wear their shirts when I do see them here in Rapid or anywhere else. It's a good feeling. It really brings that a secure feeling too for my culture.
And we're grateful to have all this brought to this circle. I really appreciate it. Let's go ahead and continue with the stories and welcoming people into this circle. We're going to go to Leech Lake, Minnesota right now. We have Lavender Hunt. She is a beadwork artist, a sewist, and an educator. Lavender is Anishinaabe. Our pleasure to have her here. Welcome in, Lavender.
Bonjour, everybody. I am so happy to be alive. I am humbled and grateful to have an opportunity today to talk about ribbons and apparel. All these words have been so exciting and hitting me to my heart about how important identity is to First Nations, Indigenous people all over the world. So I am excited.
And for you, Lavender, just hearing how important these items are, these clothing pieces of clothing, these shirts, they're more than just pieces of clothing. For you, how do you feel about them, ribbon shirts?
Just give me a second. I'm nervous.
No worries.
There's so much to talk about. There's so many places to begin to talk about these beautiful pieces. I guess I want to begin by talking about our roles as Anishinaabe. And when I say that, I'm talking about all original people, and that is Indigenous to where they are on Mother Earth. And so I'd like to acknowledge Mother Earth first and foremost, because she is our life giver. And myself, as a mother and a teacher and an artist, we have so many different roles, and it's so important to acknowledge everybody for their gifts that they have been given, that when their spirit was brought here to this physical world on Mother Earth, that everybody was given a gift. And so there are those that are the fishers and the hunters and the doctors and the ones that are out there on the front lines that we are always thinking of right now, that we also have those that are gifted with their beads and their paints and the fabrics. And so I know for myself, when I create, as Darla was saying too, that you know, there is a connection made to each of these pieces and to the person that is going to be wearing this or carrying this item. And the meaning of the colors and the designs, and being Anishinaabe from the woodland, northern Minnesota area, we see a lot of plants and vines, and a lot of those plants are medicines to us. And so we incorporate those into our designs. And so everything has meaning. And when it comes together and when all of the effort and the love and the energy that goes into creating this, I think the most beautiful part is when that person is wearing it. Because there are so many teachings that that we as Anishinaabe people or Diné or Dakota or, you know, Cree, there are so many different teachings for all of these First Nation people all across the world that we are to take care of ourselves, that our spirit is here on this earth only for a little while, and our body is the house or the temple that holds that spirit while it's here. And so everything that we do while we're here matters. That how we get ready for the day. And sometimes we say we're not into fashion or design, but we are, because we have to get up and we have to take care of ourselves and decide what we're going to put on our body that day, because we can't go around, you know, naked, that every item has purpose. And so everything that we wear too within the seasons where we are in this world matters as well. So every item created has that meaning and that purpose. And so when they're being created, there's all these different thoughts and prayers going into it, thinking about the where and what purpose it's going to serve. And there are many different occasions. And because we are so indigenizing colonized places with our ribbons and our beads and the way that we're choosing to express ourselves and our identity and who we are as such beautiful human beings that that we are really awesome.
That is, yes, that is proud. The best, that's the best way to end that sentence. And Lavender, we do have to celebrate what we come from and all these different teachings, and even down to understanding and respecting what we wear. I think that's a big one. And a lot of times you heard things like that growing up from people around you, whether they were your grandma, your mom, your aunts, your uncles, even maybe even your brothers and sisters. And understanding how important it is to present ourselves, I think that opens up a lot too. And we talk about these ribbon shirts and how they are a true extension of identity. And then hearing, you know, we have this person who's with us too, Darla, who makes sure that that identity, she gets that story. And Lavender, I'm sure you do a lot of that too. And I want to hear more about it. Maybe you want to hear more from both Darla and Lavender. Go ahead and call in, talk to them directly, 1-800-996-2848. Let's go ahead and take another call. We got Gordon in Red Lake, Minnesota, tuned in on KOJB. Gordon, thank you for giving us a ring. You're on air.
All right, Miigwech. I just wanted to say all of us natives always decorated ourselves. Even when we had hides, we painted the hides. We put quill work on them, moose hair embroideries, and everything we did was utilitarian. We didn't make art for art's sake. Everything had a purpose. So once the Europeans brought cloth and beads, then we just incorporated that into our style, I guess. And I just wanted to say thank you to all these girls that are doing this and carrying this on. And the Creator gave us creative people the ability to create. So take that with you when you're putting that into your artwork, and it'll make you a stronger person because the Creator made you a creator. So that's all I wanted to say, and thank you again so much.
All right, Gordon, thanks for checking in with us there in Red Lake. Check in with us too. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And so, Lavender, talk to us about how this truly is telling story through fabric.
Miigwech to Gordon in Red Lake. I wanted to talk a little bit about the ribbons and how he was saying that they are a new thing, that, you know, they did come about in the fur trade era, and how our Anishinaabe women were really resourceful, and how we like beautiful things. I want to share a story about my great-grandmother, Maggie King, who was one of the biggest influencers in my love for beading and sewing, because she taught my grandmother, Kathleen, who taught my mother, Delina White. My mother is a fashion designer and jewelry maker. Her name is Delina White. Her brand is called I Am Anishinaabe. I also would like to acknowledge my sister, Sage Davis. She is in school working on a PhD in fashion and design. So we come from a long line of artists and sewers. And so a lot of these techniques that we use and the skills and the stitches and the ways that we make our patterns have been passed down generationally. So getting back to the story about my grandmother, that we as Anishinaabe people are known as like pillagers. which means that we take our canoes and we paddle across the lake, and then we'll get out and we'll take our canoe and walk it across the land and get in on the other side of the lake. We are in the land of 10,000 lakes, so there's water everywhere. So our canoes were very vital to our people. And when Baba would go into town, he would ask her, is there anything that you want? And she would ask him for just a little piece of red ribbon. And so, you know, for me as a designer and a creator, that it takes a long time to put together all the items to create one piece. That sometimes I need to find the ribbon here, or I run out of the trim, or I need the certain bias tape. Whatever it may be, it takes time to get all of these pieces. And it takes a lot of materials to put together such an immaculate item. And so I think about my grandmother and how she would obtain these little pieces of red ribbon, and then she would create beautiful purses and skirts. And I always remember her apron.
And you know what, Lavender, those collections of our elders, and especially if they sew, and they have that one little piece sometimes that they just come out with, and then there it is. That was just like an accent you didn't even think about, and it just really brings everything together. And I really appreciate you talking about everything it takes to gather these things. We'll talk more. Hang tight.
Support by Amerind, Indian Country's 100% tribally owned insurance partner. Amerind works with tribal governments and their business enterprises to provide effective commercial insurance coverage, strengthen Native American communities, protect tribal sovereignty, and help keep dollars in Indian Country. More information on property, liability, workers' compensation, and commercial auto solutions at Amerind.com. That's Amerind.com.
I'm Tara Gatewood, and today it's all about ribbon shirts. We have two ribbon shirt makers with us on the line today. Lavender Hunt joins us today out of Leech Lake, Minnesota, and she is Anishinaabe. And out of Rapid City, South Dakota, we have Darla Takes the Knife, and she is a Lakota and Dakota fashion designer, and she is from the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe. Our pleasure to have both of them here. And Lavender, you were talking about gathering the right items and just taking your time and making things in a good way. Go ahead and finish your thought. Go ahead, Lavender.
I was talking about the ribbons and how excited I get thinking about all my beautiful supplies and what I'm going to make and what I am making. As a creator and a designer, I feel like I really try to connect with the person who will be wearing this item and what it is for, the purpose that it's meant for, whether it's a shirt for a man or a vest or a woman for a skirt. I'd also like to acknowledge our LGBTQ two-spirit people as well, because they are so awesome and beautiful. And, sometimes they don't want to wear what is considered to be a gender role, man wear a shirt. You know, we're developing more items that that there are ribbon pants now, and there's the ribbon jackets and the ribbon halter tops. And we are so creative and we want to express ourselves in so many different ways. And identity is so important, and it's something that we have been fighting for generations for, through historical trauma and, you know, the boarding school era. Even every day, myself as a teacher working in the education system, you know, I see our young men wanting to wear long hair and how they are bullied and joked against, and how we are making it more of a norm and more accepted to be wearing these appliqué shirts on our young men and to see them in their beautiful braids and both ears pierced, and, you know, to see Two-Spirit people identify and be proud and to be accepted. And I think that's really important that we're getting back to those teachings and those values and those understanding ways of accepting everybody for the way they are, because we are all entitled to be loved and to be accepted.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that and this extension of understanding and being stronger. I really appreciate both of you for opening that up today, both Lavender and Darla. We have a caller on the line. We're going to go to Joan, who is in Anchorage, Alaska, tuned in on KNBA. Joan, thank you for giving us a ring. You're on air.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Lavender and Darla. I love that name, Lavender. I'm just wondering, I'm Shin Tian, and we don't have a design like that. And I would really, really love to use that ribbon idea on skirts and pants and jackets, but I don't want to offend anybody. And if I do, should we put Lakota somewhere that it's designed by Lakota people? And do the ribbons represent a generation, like the buttons on a blanket represent a generation? Mm. And I guess that's it. I just love it.
All right,
thank you very much.
Thank you for reaching out, and thank you for asking in this way. And you remind me of a program that we did some time back about the Zia symbol and the nation, and talking about what that symbol meant, and encouraging people to ask permission to even use that Zia symbol. And so extending that to what we're hearing today and what they mean, I'm going to turn it to our ladies on the line to just share some thoughts about that, of, you know, who has the road to wear these things, and maybe even modify or incorporate into what you know to be traditional. Lavender, start us off. Any thoughts for Joan?
Yeah, those are really good questions. I think that a lot of people have the same kind of thought process, and it's good to be able to have these conversations and connect and share ideas. Just exactly how the ribbons came about in this area, you know, the world is more broad, and we are able to get more materials and supplies from areas all over the world. And I think that's what's really fun about being a modern day designer, is the ability to incorporate different types of fabrics and materials. But I think that it's always the right thing to ask questions and get some direction. I think it's always good to educate yourself the best way that you can. And I think that it's really important to listen to your spirit and what your gut tells you. And I think it would absolutely be beautiful to incorporate ribbons.
All right. And for you, Darla, anything you want to tell our caller, Joan?
I kind of have the same, attitude toward other tribes or indigenous people. I love the Eskimo parka look, and I would love to make something similar to that. And at one time I was like, oh, but you know, that's for the Alaskan natives. You know, and I gave it some thought, and then I thought, well, if I can just kind of make this little, somehow Lakotanize it. And so I made my own pattern, and that's kind of like a goal of mine, like my next
project is to come up with a quote that will depict our Lakota culture. So I too have struggled with that, different types of people. My grandmother Ethel uses the knife. She was very good at teaching me the values of staying within the Sioux, the Lakota culture, without venturing. Like I don't do flowers. I haven't even done jingle dresses for years. I mean, I've never done them, but the past year I started to, because I was just getting the request. And before I would just turn it down, but so I try to stay within my Lakota values. But I would say to her, to you, is I would love to collaborate with you to create something that's your culture, but with ribbons.
Wow, very nice. And Joan, thank you for reaching out. And we do know that these shirts also, we have two folks out of the northern part of the country, but we know these shirts are worn all across the country, and different nations have different thoughts and takes on them. And so I really enjoy being able to open some of this space up. And you know what? Let's open up some more. We're going to go now to Roosevelt, Utah, to hear from Darlena, who's tuned in online. Thank you for giving us a ring, Darlena. You're on air.
Hello. I just want to gently remind those of us that have were gifted the talent to have the patience and lucky enough to have sewing machines. And, you know, we're given the love and the patience as we were learning to pass that down and to instill that with those that maybe aren't even our family, in communities. And, you know, to be a teacher and to continue on those teachings that we were given, even though it may not be our own tribe, our own people, our own families. They're, young ones that are growing up, that have children that need that support. So I work with an organization who we have in the past have, you know, taught how to make skirts and some vests for children. So everybody needs a helping hand and a beginning. So let us please remember to be kind and to be sharing.
Mm-hmm. Darlena, thank you for your call. And I think something that also goes along with this too, is sitting behind that machine. And, you know, I'd love to be sitting in front of my machine right now, working on different things for different people. And that's also a gift too, of that creative process or that ability to maybe take a time away from everything that's going on and really concentrating on what it is you're making. That also comes, and it teaches a lot too, to our young people. Thank you for reaching out, Darlena. Let's go to Pauline now, who is in Ada, Oklahoma, tuned in on KCNP. Pauline, thanks for giving us a ring. Go ahead. What are you thinking?
Hello.
Hello.
I'm a TikTok speaker, and I started learning how to sew when I was real tiny. My mother was a former Chickasaw, and she spoke nothing but Chickasaw language, so she taught me. And she taught me when I was about 7 or 8. She had babies, and whenever she'd have a little one or one coming on, she'd make little baby dresses. And she'd give me a needle and thread, and I'd make it. Well, as years went on, I was sent to government school, I learned to connect there, and I learned how to make dresses. And then after that, I went to college and took comic, and I learned how to do a little bit more. But I wasn't interested in tribal things because I didn't know nothing about it. They didn't teach us that. So finally, my husband was in the service for quite a long time, maybe 30 years, so I didn't do anything. And then finally, when I came home, I sat down and started making my little boy shirts, and that developed into sewing quite a bit. I got interested. And then as time went on, I saw ribbon dresses and ribbon shirts, and I started making ribbon shirts. I can't tell you how many I made. I made a score of them and ribbon dresses, and then I got some Southern ballet dresses, and I developed them into Chickasaw dresses, which really did look real pretty, I'd say. And those people really thought it was too, so I had to make several of them. And the traditional dress, when we had a movie developed a pearl, I made all of those dresses.
Wow. And Pauline, if your needles could talk. And I think anyone who probably has received some of these things you've created are very lucky. And just understanding your own journey that you took to reconnect with your community and in this way through sewing and even through ribbon shirts and then taking it to other things is definitely something that, you know, I will remember about this show. Thank you for giving us a ring, Pauline, there in Ada, Oklahoma. And ladies, we got to wrap things up. This hour went by fast, which is good. We were talking good stuff. Darla, anything you want to leave us with?
Well, I really am. I want to thank you for letting me be on your show. You really brought out the ribbon shirt to me in my heart, and it just makes me feel excited. Like I just want to do more, and I just want to thank the people out there for listening.
All right, well, Darla, get sewing.
You know, thank you.
Thank you for being with us. And Lavender, anything you want to leave us with?
I wanted to follow up to the last couple callers' responses asking about the designs and if things were acceptable or how they haven't been taught. And so I just want to say that I have been very grateful and blessed to have been given lots of teachings by so many teachers. And it is important to pass those things on, because culture is so beautiful and our identity is so beautiful, and that some of the designs that are used, there are certain things that are ceremonial and should remain that way. And so that's why it is always good to seek that knowledge and to get an education before you start dabbling in things, so that you have a good understanding of why and where it comes from and the purpose, and so that you're not being offensive, or you know, that you do things in the best way possible. And that would be my advice, you know, moving forward with anything that you know that you want to start beading, you want to start quilting. You know, there's always somebody out there that is willing to answer questions and to help you. So I just want to say thank you, Miigwech, for having me on the show. It was really a lot of fun to be able to talk about these things that I love to do. So Miigwech, mi'iu.
All right. Thank you for that, Lavender, and wish you best as you continue creating as well. And that's going to do it for our program again. And thanks again to our guests, Lavender Hunt and Darla Takes the Gun. Takes the Knife. I'm sorry about that. Thank you to everybody. Our executive producer is Art Hughes. Senior producer is Monica Brain. Associate producer is Andy Murphy. And Marino Spencer is our engineer. Nola Daves Moses is the distribution director. And Bob Peterson is the network manager for Native Voice One. Clifton Chadwick is our resource development specialist. Antonia Gonzalez is the anchor and producer for National Native News. Charles Sather is our chief of operations. President and CEO of KBC is Jacqueline Salee. I'm your host and producer, Tara Gatewood. Thank you.
Support by the Sanosky Chambers Law Firm, championing tribal sovereignty and defending Native American rights since 1976, with offices in Washington, D.C., New Mexico, California, and Alaska.
Support by the Association of American Indian Physicians and the SAMHSA-sponsored Opioid Response Network, working across the nation to address the opioid crisis in tribal communities. Information and support at aaip.org.
During the holidays, ask your family members about their medical history. Knowing their medical history can help you make decisions for your medical care. Contact your local Indian health care provider for more information. Visit healthcare.gov or call 1-800-318-2596. A message from the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Service.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.